And now I ask for your kind attention as Mr. David Brown speaks to us on the subject of what we can learn from an Ethiopian eunuch.
Thanks very much and good morning to you all. This morning we'd like to stop and consider some lessons we can learn from the account we just read. Now, we must remember that the Acts of the Apostles records the development and the spread of the gospel message of salvation through Jesus Christ, which spread throughout the Roman world in the first century, from the time of the ascension of Jesus to heaven after his resurrection. And it records events undertaken by those sent out by him who received a charge from Jesus before he left them, when he said to them that they should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he also continued to say that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And as part of that charge, he told them that they would have various miraculous powers, the powers of the Holy Spirit, to enforce and to assist them in that preaching work. And so the chosen apostles, as we read, were given miraculous gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to assist in the work. They performed miracles as proof of their authority, but most especially they were able to recall and to explain the events in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the scriptures of the Old Testament to those whom they preached to. Now Philip, who we've just read of, was one of the apostles who had been with Jesus right from the start of his preaching in Galilee. It's in John's Gospel record that we're told that he came from the city of Bethsaida. And we also see that right from the start he wanted to share his understanding of who Jesus was with others whom he met. Perhaps we could just go to the Gospel record of John in the first chapter. John 1 and verse 43. We read that the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. But Jesus had warned his disciples before he ascended to heaven that they would face opposition, that they would face persecution for the things which they preached. And at the beginning of that chapter, part of which we read together in Acts chapter 8, we find that this actually came to pass. And after the death of Stephen, who was stoned by the crowd, we find that there was a significant trouble in Jerusalem for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we go back there? Acts chapter 8 again and the first verse. If we're told that Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen, we read, At that time there was a great persecution against the church, the ecclesia which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the persecution arose in Jerusalem. And verse 4, Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip, we're told, went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So that was showing the truth of the statement that Jesus made, that they would receive these gifts to preach and that they would suffer persecution. And again, verse 12, we see when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And so here we see Philip fulfilling the charge that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to him. And this persecution, rather than stopping the preaching, spread it further afield, outside the confines of Jerusalem, throughout the land of Israel. And Philip, as we see, is shown to be very active, supported by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But when we come to the account of his encounter with this Ethiopian eunuch, we see that it was by direct instruction from an angel of God. He met the man, the eunuch, as he was returning from Jerusalem, the eunuch having been to worship at the temple. And it's really this brief encounter that's recorded for us in just those few verses that we want to focus on this morning. Because it gives us, we believe, a number of important points to consider in relation to our own response to the call of the gospel message of Scripture. Now, as we said in the narrative, we read of this man who was returning from a trip to Jerusalem, where he had been to worship. He was riding in his chariot as part, we can presume, of a small entourage, as he was an important dignitary from the court of the Queen of Ethiopia, whose name Candace. And interestingly, as he travelled back from that trip to Ethiopia, he wasn't sitting there developing the fiscal policies of the nation on his way back, or considering his workload on his return from his trip away. He was instead reading a copy of the Hebrew Scriptures. In fact, it may be that he had obtained this copy in his recent visit to Jerusalem. We're not told. But regardless, he was reading with avid interest and with an inquiring mind. And Philip was sent by the angel to help him with his understanding of the things which he read. And we see from the narrative of Acts chapter 8 that was a portion of the prophecy that we know of Isaiah. And in particular, as it's quoted in Acts 8 of chapter 53, which was prophetic of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. But what can we learn from what we see in the attitude and the events that happened to this Ethiopian? Now, the first thing we want to remark upon here is the fact that the Lord God sent his angel to Philip, and he specifically directed Philip to the area where he would encounter this man. And that's really important, because it gives us an insight into the way in which God is at work in the lives of individuals. And it's really an amazing thing, if you think about it, to recognise that despite the Lord God being the all-powerful creator and sustainer of everything that we see around us, he's interested in individuals such as you and I. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah itself, and this time, chapter 55. Presumably, it's a chapter, and there wouldn't have been chapter divisions in the day, that the Ethiopian would have continued on to read very soon after his encounter. But look what it says at verse 6 of Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And this is fascinating, isn't it? That the Lord God of heaven and earth, whose thoughts, he explains, are beyond our full comprehension, is active and interested in individuals who will respond to him. In fact, in the New Testament, Jesus himself made this very clear And a statement that again should stop us in our tracks if we think about it. In Luke, Jesus was explaining to his disciples they would face resistance and persecution. He didn't just say it once. And he said that they should not be afraid of them that would kill or could kill the body, but after that have no more they can do. But those that could finally have victory over them by destroying their faith. But he says, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And Jesus shows that the almost incomprehensible way in which God understands the minutest details in the life of his servants. But in the previous note, did you not notice that the reference to God's word accomplishing his purpose? And that's the point. God has a purpose that he will see to completion. And the scriptures reveal to us that that purpose involves individuals. God knows the end from the beginning. He is certain that his word will perform that which he has determined. He says elsewhere in Isaiah, I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. I have spoken it, he says, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed and I will also do it. And in the New Testament, when we read of the writings of the Apostle Paul, he speaks of God's knowledge, his foreknowledge, the fact that he knows who will respond to him and is providentially directing the events in the world to attain his stated purpose. Listen to these words from Romans 8, where he talks of those that are God's servants, that all things work together for good to them, who are the called according to his purpose. He goes on to say, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And him whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, specifically how this operates, we cannot fully understand, because God's ways are indeed higher than our ways. But it brings us to a second point we wish to consider and take from this account of the Ethiopian eunuch. That the Bible teaches that God calls individuals and saves them by election. It's a selection process. It's mentioned also in the letter to the Romans, God is electing his chosen people through grace. He said in Romans 11, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And what this tells us is that the grace of God is undeserved favour to those that serve him. And the election to the purpose of God is not universal, but is selective. Jesus himself said, many are called, but few chosen. And God calls and elects individuals through his grace. They are individuals of his choosing who respond to his word. And the Ethiopian eunuch, as we read in Acts 8, was one of those called of God. And through his word, we can be sure he is calling to each of us. The question is how we respond to that call. Now, we've dwelt upon these first two points for some time this morning, but I think it's fundamental for us to acknowledge and accept these. They're almost mind-blowing truths, aren't they? Things that we perhaps struggle to understand in the nature of God and his understanding of us as individuals and his purpose when we see the vastness of that which surrounds us. But what else can we glean from this account? Well, this man, the Ethiopian eunuch, as we read, was a man of standing in the world, wasn't he? He was in charge of the financial affairs of the royal house of a large country. A very important man in the world's eyes. But in the sight of God, that was irrelevant. And the scriptures teach us that in calling men and women to a knowledge of his purpose, things such as status and wealth, career, are not important. Status in this life is not important. It's the response to the word of God that matters. The response to the call of the gospel message. Paul in Galatians puts it like this. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, ye are all one in Christ Jesus. What he means there is that it doesn't matter your nation of birth, whether you're in that case a slave or a free man, whether you're a man or a woman, all can have hope in Christ if in responding to the call of the gospel. And the scriptures show that men and women from all walks of life and all kinds of circumstances are among those who listened to and responded to the call of God. Here we have this Ethiopian civil servant. Elsewhere we have a Roman centurion. We have a tent maker, a poor widow, and a social outcast. And the list goes on. All these examples, however, do have one thing in common. They all accepted the word of God and they responded to it with a faith and belief and conviction. And this brings us to another important point that's contained in the 27th verse of that Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. We read, didn't we, in Acts 8 and verse 27. This man had, right at the end of the verse, come to Jerusalem for to worship, and he was returning. The fact that he had been to Jerusalem to worship meant that he recognized that God has revealed himself through a people, through the people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham. And this may seem a very small point, perhaps, but it is relevant. Jesus made a very clear statement. It's in John's Gospel record in the 4th chapter, where he said to the woman from Samaria, salvation is of the Jews. And we need to therefore see that we need to be like this Ethiopian eunuch who explored the things of God that he has revealed through his word in relation to the people of Israel. The Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Rome. Perhaps we can turn there, Romans 1 and verse 16. Talking about his faith in the gospel message. Romans 1 verse 16. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or the Gentile, the non-Jew. And just as the Ethiopian had recognized that even before he encountered Philip, our response to the gospel must be to associate ourselves with the things God has revealed through his dealings with the people of Israel. And we must accept what the Apostle Paul also called the hope of Israel, which is the hope of the gospel. Now in Acts 8 verse 28, and perhaps I should have said keep a finger there, because obviously we'll keep going back. We see the Ethiopian was reading, as we said, the prophecy of Isaiah. And you know, there's another very basic lesson for us here, isn't there? To understand a subject, we have to find out as much as we can about it. The Bible reveals to us that it is the holy, inspired word of God himself, sent through his servants, inspired to write and to record those things which he would have us understand of him and of his purpose. And in the first century, it was these apostles and the Apostle Paul in particular who were moved by the Holy Spirit to write down those things which were for our benefit, for our learning about the purpose of God and our part in it. And as we said, to understand the subject, we have to find out as much about it as we can. The one who has a purpose with this earth, the one who has offered a great hope to those who will respond to him, the Lord God himself, has caused this word to be recorded. And therefore, if we want to know about a subject, we need to look at the reliable source of information that we have, which is the Scriptures, the Bible. It's the only source of authority that we have in regard to matters of God and salvation. And the Ethiopian shows us in his example that not only should we read it, but we need to read it avidly. He showed that he was willing to read the Scriptures to understand them. And elsewhere we're told that to develop faith, we have to read. We have to listen to God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But some things are not easy to understand, are they? I don't think any of us in this room, if we've ever tried to read through the whole of the Bible, which I'm sure many have, find every area of it easy to understand. And the eunuch was no different. He recognised that he needed help to understand some of the messages of Scripture. And he was open to instruction from those who could help him. As important as this man was, he recognised his need for guidance. He wasn't self-sufficient in his faith. And he said to Philip in verse 31 of Acts 8, How can I understand except some man should guide me? When he was contemplating the words of Isaiah 53. He had an attitude which recognised his need for help in understanding the things of God. And he was willing to let Philip, who had a greater knowledge of these things, explain by reference to other parts of the Scriptures. Notice what it says about Philip. Verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, in Isaiah 53, and preached unto him Jesus. And this shows that to understand the Bible then, we need to compare one passage with another. And that will help us to explain what God has revealed. In this, the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip give us a good way to approach our understanding of the Word of God, to read it and to compare one part with another to enlarge our understanding. But as we said, the eunuch showed an inquiring mind. Yes, he read the Scriptures. He was reading as he travelled. But he also thought about what he read. He didn't read the Bible as if it was some great piece of literature for entertainment or to while away the time. He read, as we said earlier, with avid interest. He recognised that these scriptures that he was reading were more than just words on a page. He developed his faith that this was indeed the message that God has revealed to us who would read and try to understand it. And so he shows us that the Word of God is vital in our understanding of him and of his purpose and how we can individually be a part of it. How we can change so that we can be like those who are pleasing to God, our Creator. And the Ethiopian, in his inquiring mind, shows us how we should approach these things. That we should ask as we read, what does this mean? Why is this recorded for us? How did this work? And in doing so, in meditating on these things, it will help us to come to a greater understanding of the things of God. But that wasn't the end for the eunuch, was it? Because in verse 36 we read, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Ethiopian eunuch acted upon his belief. He recognized his need when he listened to that which Philip explained to him, and he decided that he needed to change things in his life. And that's a lesson for all of us. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples, that they should go and preach the gospel, and he that believeth and is baptized should be saved. No doubt, as they spoke on the way in that chariot, Philip explained that to the Ethiopian. He explained the significance of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his sufferings, and of his death and resurrection. And once he understood that, the Ethiopian recognized he had to act upon his belief. They went on their way, we're told, and he saw this certain water. Once convinced, he took no thought for his position, the inconvenience it might cause him in his newfound faith. He obeyed the command of Christ to be baptized. And the eunuch understood that baptism was essential. It was by full immersion to associate himself with the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the message and the call to you and I is the same today as when that Ethiopian eunuch travelled the dusty roads of Israel. If we have come to read the scriptures, if we have come to understand that it is indeed the word of God, and that there is a purpose, and that as individuals we can be called and chosen to be part of that purpose, then the Ethiopian eunuch teaches us that we have to act. If we want to respond in faith to God, we have to act by putting our life right with God through the sacrifice of Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And you know, when we do that, it can have a real changing force in our life. Faith, when acted upon, can bring a true joy as we have a great prospect, a prospect of eternal life in the kingdom. Just look at what happened after they went into that water. Philip baptized the eunuch at the end of verse 38. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Philip's work was done with this man. He'd been sent by the angel of God. He had done his work, and he now moved on. The Ethiopian had responded in faith and been baptized. And because of that, he rejoiced. He recognized that he was now compliant with the ways of God, that he now had his sins forgiven and was associated with the hope, a great hope that all the faithful of the ages have espoused. And that, the details of which we cannot really cover this morning, but the important point is that faith, when acted upon, can bring a true joy into our life. Because we have a great prospect, and we have comfort that we are at one with God through his Son. You know, this man is a great example for us to ponder, isn't he? The points we've tried to bring out from this are a number of them. Firstly, remember that God is at work in the lives of individuals. That the Bible teaches that God calls and saves by election. That the gospel message, this call, is open to all, regardless of nation, of status, of financial status in this life. It's not important, but it's the attitude of mind that matters. teaches us that we have to recognize that salvation is of the Jews, that the things contained and revealed about the people of God, the nation of Israel, are really relevant, and we need to associate ourselves with them and understand God's purpose through his chosen nation. It's taught us that we need to read God's word, not to think that it's something that's beneath us, but to take an interest in the word of God. To understand what it says to us, and to be open to instruction in the things of God. To have an inquiring mind. Not just read, but think about it and ponder on it, on its meaning. But we need to be able to respond in faith. Once we learn about the truth of God in the Lord Jesus Christ and the fulfilling of the things which God has promised, we then need to act. Cannot expect the Lord God to be pleased with us if we hear him and do nothing. But that faith, if we do act upon it, can bring joy into our life now. Ethiopian eunuch's response and his attitude shows that we need to read, as we said, to recognize the worth of the Word of God, to have close ties with the things of God, and to respond. And the really fascinating thing, isn't it, is that God is willing to work in our individual life, even now, to give us joy and hope for the current time. Hope of eternal blessings in the kingdom of God to come.